I love that sound. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs such as myself the resources once reserved for big business. Customize it for your needs with a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life and gives you the tools to manage your day-to-day and drive that revenue up. I love how easy they make it for anyone to successfully run their business. Every 28 seconds, a small business owner is making their first sale on Shopify. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience needed. Go to shopify.com/scale, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial. Get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/scale right now. That is shopify.com/scale. That is shopify.com/scale. This is it, the putt to win the tournament. You sink it, the championship is yours, but on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control over your finances, inventory, HR, budgeting, and so much more. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/scale. Head to netsuite.com/scale for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That is netsuite.com/scale. Welcome back to another great episode of the Uncharted Podcast. I have my good friend, Miguel Fernandez, who's the co-founder and CEO of Capchase. Miguel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you. So Miguel, we'd love to kick it off usually with like a quick personal, professional bio. And frankly, what we really want to know is get to know Miguel on the personal side. So give us a little bit of context of who you are as a person.
I'm from Spain, so I grew up there. When I was a kid, all I wanted to play with was Lego, right? So I think that growth and seeing things grow has been one of my obsessions since I was a kid. I've always been thinking about how to make things grow and enjoy seeing it grow. So I studied engineering as well to understand how things work. I did mechanical engineering in Madrid and then nuclear engineering in Munich. And then, I went down to the dark side. I worked in consulting for a couple of years, doing mostly banking and TMT. So I really didn't like that. I learned how to work, but it was not my thing. So I kept, trying to grow other things as a side gig. So I launched two companies, two startups, none of which achieved any traction. In one, we lost a little bit of money. It was a peer-to-peer, lending company, almost like the Airbnb for sports equipment. It's funny to think about it in like how we described the company back then, but anyways. And then the second one was a marketplace of up-and-coming brands that we would deliver within 2 hours in Madrid. So that one, we made a little bit of money, mostly due to unit economics. But again, like not a lot of traction. And then, I knew that I wanted to be in tech and startups, and almost like growing things from scratch. So I left consulting and joined a pre-revenue SaaS business where I was the first person in sales. So I had no idea that I was going to do sales. I thought I was going to do a strategy. And then the first day on the job, they just said, hey, you have to call people. And I've never been really comfortable with that, but I just did it and did it really hard. And in the end, I ended up running the sales and the customer success team and the international. Wow. So I did that for 3 years. It was quite a ride. We took the company from zero to a few million ARR. And then I left to go and do my MBA. I was super fortunate and got accepted into HBS. Went to HBS with the goal of launching something upon graduation. And as soon as I landed, I started researching with a couple of friends. Yes, at the intersection between what we knew and what we liked. So we knew B2B SaaS. We liked FinTech. We started looking into that. And 4 months in, we had the seminal idea of Capchase, which was, how can we help businesses, software businesses, offer flexible payment terms and get paid upfront? And that's when the whole Capchase thing started. So besides that, what I like is, as I said, making things grow, being part of, something that you don't really know how it's going to work, but trying to figure out how to solve it. And then, yeah, just like being surrounded with people with energy, smart people, you know, and being together on a mission. That's how I would say the things that I value the most.
Yeah. Wow. I don't even know that there's a lot to unpack. And if there's one bio that like illustrates the purpose of this podcast Uncharted, it's probably your background of all the different mm-hmm. diverse things you've done to get you where you are. I got to ask, out of everything you've done to semi-failure, semi-success startups, right? Sales, consulting, banking, engineering degree, Harvard Business School. Out of all of those things, which one do you think allowed you to learn the most or prepare you the most for your current role as the CEO of Capchase?
Pinpointing on one, because it's true that it's almost like you start gathering a portfolio of experiences, right? And then if you're able to connect the dots, it's almost like you can work all the way backwards to almost like, you know, like middle school or high school and say, oh, so this thing back then is what made me think about, you know, this way of looking at the world and has given me the skills now. So it's really hard to pinpoint one. I would say that perhaps what has prepared me the most was when I was in the SaaS business, you know, growing the company from zero to a few million ARR, because everything was to be done, right? Like it was really like a pre-revenue company. There were nine people. We had a semi-product, you know, but we had no idea how to sell it. Like, what was the real value, you know, and how would companies use it? So I think seeing that from the very beginning, starting to sell one product and then develop features and work with customers to understand what else they needed, you know, and then as, you know, we develop more features, like how we negotiate the pricing and what value were we adding, and then expanding into new countries and fighting against, you know, different competition. In some countries, there were no competition. In some others, there were massive incumbents, you know? So I think that without that experience, I would have never gone to HBS. I've never been accepted. And then, you know, I think that was probably the beginning of everything. So if I had to choose one, that would be the one, you know, joining an early stage company and figuring it out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always funny. Some of these things come back to experience, right? Actually doing it, but sometimes going through a Harvard Business School to learn and reflect and whatnot just gives you the extra ammo. You touched upon the founding story of Capchase. And what I'm really actually really interested for your business, because it's half software, half services, half like fintech. I'm really curious how you guys got your first set of customers. Like, it, more importantly, like how in the early days, before you even brought on customers, like how you knew there was something there, like that you're like, wow, this actually makes a lot of sense for me to go full time and dedicate the next 10 years to building this company.
Yeah, great. So yeah, a few questions there. So the first time that we realized we had something was literally when we had the idea. We just couldn't believe it. It was like, hey, how does this not even exist? And you know, the idea was basically like a sales tool to offer flexible payment terms to customers so that, you know, such businesses could offer flexible payment terms, but get paid upfront. So, you know, when we thought about it, we knew that we were into something, because it was a pain that my team felt every single day at that SaaS company that I mentioned, right? Always in every single deal, people wanted to pay monthly or pay later or pay quarterly or whatever, you know? And we needed the cash up front so that we didn't dip too much into our, you know, cash balance. So yeah, we just wouldn't do it. And we would give very large discounts to get paid up front. So it was a massive pain. And when we thought of the idea for the first time, we just couldn't believe that it hadn't been solved, because we were just taking it as a pain, you know, as a growing pain when we were growing the business. And then when we came up with the idea, I was like, okay, so there's something here. And then we started speaking with more SaaS founders, and the eyes instantly glowed. Like, oh, wait, getting all the cash up front from all my customers, but they can still pay monthly. So yeah, people automatically saw it. And they got really excited and started to suggest, you know, other things. And some people were asking, like, hey, but what if I do it not for you know, each customer, but for my whole customer base? Like, how would that work? And how would this make me grow? And can you show me, you know, the impact this would have? So that was great, right? Like, that was instant validation. And then how we got our first customer, me at HBS really helped, because we were doing our first year, you know, pandemic just hit when we were starting to get our first, you know, customer conversations and really like figuring out the capital structure. So then people had just a little bit more time, you know, because there were not all these social commitments going on. So we had a lot of time from professors. Like, we would jump into Zoom calls with them. They would help us to figure out a ton of stuff. And then actually one professor who taught entrepreneurial sales, Mark Reverge, he was the CRO of HubSpot for a while. He really loved the idea. Him and another guy called Lou Shipley, who's also a professor at HPS, they loved the idea and they started introducing us to customers. And actually one of those customers that we spoke with became our first customer ever. So it was actually through HBS. And then unfortunately, you know, we got so tied up in the business in CapSafe that, you know, like 6 months later, I started missing classes from this specific professor. And I actually failed and dropped out, you know, from that class. It was almost like a full turnaround, but I would never forget how helpful it was at the beginning.
Yeah, it's those stepping stones of one thing leads to another, right? Like sometimes it's hard at the moment to see how those things are connected, but when you look back, some way they're connected. Look, you've done a lot of impressive things, right? You've built things. You have this engineering background. It sounds like as an early stage hire, you built out the sales team for an early stage company that went on to be very successful. So I'm curious, as a CEO, now that you reflect back, what is the one skill, experience, thing that's like been the hardest for you to learn, whether it's a skill or for you to just get your grasp around this idea? And maybe like, what was the aha moment that like has helped you kind of get better at that certain skill or thing?
Understanding that communication from one person to another and from that, you know, and back is like a funnel, right? So from what you actually want to say or what you think you want to say to what the actual person understands, there is a lot of drop off everywhere, right? It depends, you know, on you know, the intended message that you want to give. It depends on the style of communication, on the actual content and how engaging it is, on the circumstances of each person. You know, if I tell you one thing, I tell the exact same thing to somebody else. If you both have different circumstances, the message is going to be different, right? So that was a little bit of a challenge, you know, coming from engineering where you just work with numbers, you know, with immutable laws and things like that. And then, you know, if you say A, it's A, there's no possible interpretation. But then you get to the business world and then, you know, there's just a ton of nuance in communication. So figuring out how to make that funnel be, you know, as much of a tube-like as possible, that has been a very challenging skill to learn.
You've grown in the last 2 years, right? From a couple of people, couple of employees to north of 100 plus. And this team now is distributed amongst the world, right? Mainly yep. North America and Spain. So if communication is really difficult, right? Where yep. my head goes is, how the heck does Miguel and the rest of the team make sure what they communicate goes all the way down to the people on the front lines, right? I'm curious, like, how have you made sure what you're communicating doesn't get lost by the time it gets to the AE in the front lines? Like, what have you learned to put in place to make sure that communication that you're communicating actually comes through from your lens and it's not diluted by the time it gets to the AE in the front lines?
A lot of written communication, and not in the form of bullet points or like keynote statements, but in the form of prose, so people can understand the rationale behind it. And then they can refer back to the written communication and see, you know, and refresh everything that was said. So that's one thing. So when we're doing meetings, you know, and we want to have a debate about a specific topic, we always try to have a write-up, you know, with one page, maybe two pages, about the situation and about a suggestion, right? So, hey, and this is what we should be doing. And then that only, like what it does is that it sparks a debate. And then through a debate, when you have like a conversation about a topic that, you know, was written, it is much easier to build a connection and to understand really the full intent of that communication, as opposed to, you know, one of statements that are much more, you know, liable to be interpreted in different ways. And then another thing would be just over-communication. Just, you know, I found that my job now, like a lot of the time is just repeating the context and then placing different things happening in the world, in the company, in our customers, in a context that people understand and can refer to, and then communicating always within the same frame of reference. So I would say a lot of written content, you know, in prose, and then over communication of always linking different ideas to the same context and frame of reference.
Kidded. I feel like sometimes no matter how many times you over communicate, it still gets lost. So
yeah,
I think anything you can do, nail it in people's head is the best thing you can do. Look, Miguel, this has been an absolute awesome episode. Can't thank you enough for coming on. We will put your contact information in the show notes for people to reach out. But before we say our goodbyes, one consistent question we ask everybody is, if the wiser, older Miguel could go back to any point of your life, what advice would you give your younger self?
One really important one. I remember, you know, when I was, I don't know, first or second year at college, I was complaining because I had to study so much, and then all my friends were having a lot of fun. So my mom told me, like, hey, like, you need to understand what you want. And you need to, if you're taking advice from somebody of like, hey, maybe you shouldn't study that much or whatever, you need to understand what that person wants as well. And if you don't want what that person wants, then don't do what that person does, right? So it's really important to choose who you take advice from, you know, and what it is, understanding what it is they value, because it may not be exactly what you value, right? So that is one really important thing. And then I would say the second thing that I would wish I had known earlier is that, you know, you just have to try everything, so that then you can sleep at night, not worrying about what if I had done this other thing, would have I have made it, you know, otherwise. So it's like always when you try something, just go all the way and don't leave any stone unturned, because, you know, it's the what ifs that really gets you after a while, you know. So now I just go all in, and if it doesn't work out, I know I'm 100% comfortable that it didn't work out because it just was just not possible, not because I didn't try enough.
Context matters, which is the first part of your advice. And the second part, which I love, is live without regrets, right? Like when you look back, you got to ask yourself that, hey, I absolutely did everything I could in my powers. And I'm proud of at least making the effort. Well, Miguel, again, thanks for coming on the show. This has been an absolute pleasure. For everybody, again, we will put Miguel's show notes, his contact information and CapChase in the show notes. So reach out, let him know how much you appreciate for him coming on the show. And until next time, be well, be good, and catch you on the next episode.
Thank you so much, Koya. It was great to be here.
I love that sound. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs such as myself the resources once reserved for big business. Customize it for your needs with a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life and gives you the tools to manage your day-to-day and drive that revenue up. I love how easy they make it for anyone to successfully run their business. Every 28 seconds, a small business owner is making their first sale on Shopify. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience needed. Go to shopify.com/scale. All lowercase for a free 14-day trial. Get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/scale right now. That is shopify.com/scale. That is shopify.com/scale. This is it, the putt to win the tournament. You sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control over your finances, inventory, HR, budgeting, and so much more. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/scale. Head to netsuite.com/scale for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That is netsuite.com/scale.